The Athletic.
Oh, oh, what? Sam Kerr, gone and done!
Russo's in there! That will do it for Manchester United.
Beckmead steadies herself and scores a stunning goal!
Hello and welcome to the Athletic Women's Football Podcast. Coming up, what's Hayes got in store for us? Will Liverpool sink or swim? And the Lionesses are heading to the World Cup. It's Lindsay Hooper here, back for a brand new season after a game-changing summer. And let's start off with some of our very own transfer news. Like Jill Scott and Ellen White, Kate Borsay has decided to go out on a high after the Euro shows this summer. She'll no longer be presenting the show with me anymore, although we've only had the weekly offering for three seasons. For the last decade, Kate and I have covered women's football together in what started out as a small segment on the Offside Rule. It then became us covering major tournaments, which started with the World Cup in Canada in 2015, and then ended this summer, of course, with the Lionesses being crowned European champions. I wanted to say a big heartfelt thank you to Kate for everything that she's put into these shows. She was a dear friend before we embarked on these shows together, and she will be for a long time afterwards. But I'm pleased to see that her news and current affairs career is thriving in the way that it is at Times Radio. She will continue to be part of the Offside Rule with myself and Hayley McQueen every Wednesday. So if you do miss her taking the mickey out of my accents, usually French ones, and my competitiveness, then head over there each week. In Kate's absence, I've got plenty of people to keep me company. Joining me today, it's freelance football writer Rich Laverty. Hello, Rich. You knew Kate as well from the off, so it's fitting that we've got you on this one.
Yeah, am I replacing her?
You're not replacing her permanently.
Okay.
Breaking news. Brutal breaking news, but we hope to have you on more regularly. Robin Cowan is also here, the BBC football commentator who commentated that Euros final. Robin, I'm guessing you're not even over it yet, but your commentary of the Chloe Kelly goal will go down in history forever. And I'm wondering how many times you've heard it back.
I've tried to avoid it, but I just got a put an apology there to my husband who gets enough of my voice at home, and it's just been, yeah, played a little bit too much. Thankfully for him, it's dying down a bit now. So couldn't escape for a couple of weeks after that. So he's gone through the mill.
Well, we do have a big WSL preview in store for you today, but the season hasn't even kicked off yet and the Lionesses have already stolen the show again.
And that's dropped to Russo. That's a finish. What a finish. Big chance for Paris, and she takes it emphatically.
Yes, England have qualified for the World Cup next summer with a 2-0 win over Austria. To bring us right back down to earth, we'll bring Rich back in because he was doing that for me all over the summer, just with a big thump. Occasionally, he'd just go, reality check. However, Rich, I will say that Serena, she didn't quite do it, did she, when she was with the Netherlands? She got them to the final of the World Cup, but she didn't do the world champion and European champion double. Could she do it? Right, hold yourself, Robin. Let's just see what happens here. Rich.
Do I have to be positive now? Because I feel like you've bigged me up to be negative.
Oh, is this the contrary?
You can be the yin to our yang, Rich.
I mean, like, I genuinely think they can. Yeah, I mean, they're the European champions. So, you know, they've proven that they can beat the best. Obviously, yeah, you throw back in the US and you throw obviously Canada and Australia and a few others in. It's going to be hard. Of course it is. You know, it's the World Cup, and just because you win one tournament doesn't mean you're going to win the next, but they've proven now they can win. And like Robin said, you know, we've got Serena, you know, she just gives off that air of confidence. And if that rubs off on me and Robin and you, Lindsay, and everybody else, then imagine what it's like with the players. So they'll have every chance, but, you know, like we said at the Euros, there's probably going to be seven or eight teams that can win it as well. And maybe teams will approach England a bit differently now. Maybe they'll, you know, treat, you know, a bit more respect, sit back, try and defend, and you don't know, but, you know, they're going to go in with a chance, definitely.
With Serena Wiegmann in charge, I just feel anything's possible, and it wouldn't be that weird if England went on and won the World Cup in the summer. I believe in her particularly and this team so much. Yeah, just an incredible summer, and no, I still can't quite believe that happened. It feels like it's still like a fever dream a little bit.
For you, Rich, I'm sure you had many questions from the Euros that you still wanted answering. One of those possibly being, can Russo do it from the start? She was obviously this impact super sub for the Euro Championships. Does she look like she's a definite replacement now for Ellen White, having started this game and scored?
I think she's the natural one in terms of she's next in the pecking order now, probably in terms of experience, having now had that spell in the US, playing for Manchester United and now having the major tournament and the success that came with it for the team and both for her personally. I think she's admitted herself she's still sort of getting used to being an out-and-out number nine. She's played across different attacking roles as she's grown up, but she's got that physicality. She can finish, she can score all sorts of goals. She showed that at the Euros. There's going to be competition there. You know, Ebony Salmon now in the squad, who's a striker, but a completely different type of player to Russo. And I think Ebony will put pressure on, but, you know, Russo, I think, has earned the right now to be that sort of heir to the throne and have that opportunity now over the course of the last qualifier and obviously the friendlies that are coming up. And I think they're going to be the really big test now for her to see, you know, let's start her against the US next month. Let's start her in any other friendlies that we're going to have coming up, because they're the games where now she's going to have to, if England are to win the World Cup and Russo starts, it's going to be games like the USA. It's not going to be games like Luxembourg and Austria. So I think she's earned the right, definitely. She's still adapting to it. She's still growing. She's very young, but I think, you know, there's obviously an incredible amount of talent there.
If Russo does get elevated to that position permanently, Robin, and we see her as a regular on that starting 11 list, who is it that will be the impact super sub going forward, do we think? Is this, when we backfill, are we looking at Beth England maybe being that super sub?
See, that's the thing. I'm just not sure. That's the thing we're losing, isn't it? It'd be great if you could start Russo and then bring her on as well, because she was so effective. So yeah, that's the issue, because you've lost Ellen White, who's obviously so, so experienced, and that tactic just worked every single time. Ebony Salmon, I think, is a real talent, but no one really has that many caps, that much experience. Russo is clearly the most experienced now. You know, she's won something. So I think that's the big thing, and that's the question that Serena Wiegmann's got to answer now. Who can make that sort of impact off the bench that Russo did so brilliantly at the Euros? Maybe Beth England, we'll have to see. But obviously the fact she didn't play a single minute at the Euros maybe suggests that perhaps not. But as I say, Wiegmann will figure it out.
A couple of points of note from this match. Nikita Paris scored for England after a one-year wait. Lauren James made her England debut in this one as well. It does sound like Serena Wiegmann is very excited about playing USA on October the 7th in terms of tests. She says, we all think in Europe that we're catching up. Hopefully we can show that at Wembley in October, indicating that could be the ultimate test of where the Lionesses really are. In Wiegmann's 21 games in charge, England have not lost once. It's worth reminding ourselves about that. They've scored 108 goals and conceded 5. They do play Luxembourg at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday. But that evening, all eyes will be on Wales, who could join Scotland in the World Cup playoffs if they avoid defeat to Slovenia. After that, the attention turns back to the league, with the WSL returning on Saturday. And now is time for the big preview.
This is the Athletic Women's Football Podcast.
Let's begin at the top with the title contenders. I'm putting Chelsea, Arsenal and Man City in this category. Feel free to disagree. I'm sure there'll be some murmurs of Man United should be in there as well. But let's go with the three, seeming as we've got quite a short league in terms of numbers. The transfer window closes on Thursday. So far, which of these sides do you think has got the best signings in and how those signings might impact things? Rich, I'll begin with you.
I think they've all done really well. I think Chelsea and Arsenal have done slightly less business, but they probably didn't need to do as much. I mean, Chelsea, once you're at the top, you know, you obviously want to keep adding things, but there's only so much you can do to a team that's, you know, already kind of dominating the domestic scene. So, but they've added some good players, you know, in positions. I think obviously they still want a midfielder and a goalkeeper if they can get that done. But Arsenal, similar, you know, already have Miedema, you know, Blackstenius, Leah Williamson, Jordan Nobbs, Leah Valti, etc. They've added, you know, quality in Lena Hurtig. Man City obviously had the biggest turnover, but I still think they've added real good quality. You know, I think they're going to look a little bit different this year. It might take a little bit of time to get going, which you can't really afford. So, you know, maybe it'll be between Chelsea and Arsenal. I'm not sure. I think City maybe be a little bit of a transition year with a new style and so many foreign players. But I do think overall they've all actually done really good business with the players they've added.
I'd agree, although I think for me, it's a real mark of a team and a club that are being properly backed. Chelsea, who won the league, obviously not by a landslide last season, but they're not standing still. They've lost Jisoo Yun, you know, a big loss for them. I think on and off the pitch, he was really popular. But they've signed really, really good players. You know, Perisay, Buchanan. The only thing I would say is, you know, having followed the Lionesses, what does this mean for Jess Carter, Millie Bright, you know, people like that? You know, they've really got strength in depth, which would help in Europe. They're reportedly in for Grace Guioro. If they get her, that's another really, really good addition. So in terms of like they were already strong and now they've just got stronger, I think Arsenal probably need a little bit more, because when Leah Williamson got injured last season, they really suffered. Obviously, she's basically impossible to replace, and it would be difficult to bring someone in who would almost kind of be her understudy and be almost as good as her. So that's tricky. And then, yeah, I agree with Rich. Man City are the really interesting ones because it's such a high turnover. And yeah, it could be another slow start for a very different reason. Obviously, last year, they had a huge amount of injuries. And this year, loads of new players. And possibly could be losing Kira Walsh as well. Barcelona really pushing to sign her before the deadline. And that would be a huge blow for Man City. So yeah, it's difficult to comment with the transfer window still open. But yeah, I think Chelsea, just because they've strengthened, even though they're already strong, look very good shape.
Let's park Walsh for a second, because we don't know what's going to happen there with the window still open. But let's remind ourselves of the outgoings at City, because both of you have identified there has been a lot of change. Players going out include Bardsley, White, Scott, Becky, Stanway, Weir, Bronze. You hear all of those together and you think, wow, this is more than just a bit of a chip and a change. It is wholesale. And then they've signed Mary Fowler, who we know is a great player, Leia Alexandri, brilliant, excited to see her. But I suppose the big but is, can they all gel quick enough? We know what a poor start for the season last time did for City, because they ended like a thundering train. It's a juxtaposition that I'm not sure which side I fall on, in terms of holding on to your good players, getting new contracts out of those new players, or shopping in Europe, bringing in some new talent. Because we haven't spoken about Arsenal as much, Rich. Like you say, they haven't done lots and lots of business. But what they have done is bring in Lena Hurtig. As that one lone piece of quality, what do you think she will add?
I think she's a different option. I think you saw last season there was a slight movement in terms of how Arsenal started to play. We started to see Miedemar go back into the midfield, or sort of the number 10 role behind Blackstenius. And I think with Hurtig, very physical, you know, really strong presence, and maybe that replacement in terms of a physical presence in terms of Miedemar, but she can play out wide as well. I think we'll probably see maybe Hurtig play more out from the left, and maybe see Beth Mead go over onto the right-hand side where Nikita Paris was. So it gives them options. That's the thing. Those forwards are versatile. You know, Miedemar can play various positions. Mead can play various positions. Hurtig can play various positions. So it's just another option, isn't it? It's a really good option. And I just think it's, yeah, she just adds something a little bit different. There's so much quality up there already. And I think Jonas doesn't want to change things too much, because given it was his first season, it worked quite well. They weren't perfect, but they took the title race down to the final day of the season. And at one point, it looked like they were going to win it when Manchester United went ahead at Chelsea. So they were really close, considering it was year one. So I think he's probably thought, I don't need to do a huge amount, just add a little bit of quality. Let's hit the ground running. You know, they've got Steiner in for a full pre-season. And I think Arsenal are in a pretty good position.
We had the really sad news during the summer that Ann-Kathrin Berger is once again fighting cancer. And you wonder whether there is enough backup in that position. One of our favourite keepers from the Euros was Everard. And apparently there is a link. We don't know how strong that link is, whether that will happen, but to get Everard in the league, that could be a game changer as well.
And also it could be Jessie Parker Humphreys of this parish was saying that, you know, because, you know, she of the bouncy castle rental hire, that we could replace the stands with bouncy castles at King's Meadow, and I'm all for that.
Oh, it could be a handy contact for you as well with the toddler.
Exactly, what a great move it would be all round. Yeah, do it, Chelsea, come on.
We know that we're always treated to a big fixture in the opening weekend this time, because last time it was at the Emirates Stadium, Arsenal against Chelsea. This time it's Manchester City against Arsenal. Arsenal are the away side. For the inside view from one of those challengers, Man City, we've got for this one, producer Sophie caught up with one of the remaining leaders, former Barcelona captain Vicky Lozada.
First of all, Vicky, thank you so much for coming on the Athletic Women's Football Podcast. We're delighted to have you. We know it's been a busy summer. Everyone's seen you on the BBC coverage of the Euros. I wanted to start off there because obviously looking ahead to this season for Man City, it is coming off the back of such a huge summer. Has anything changed at all since the Euros?
No, I think what the Lionesses, they just made history, and it's something massive for the country and for the football in England and in the world in general, because the expectations weren't even over. And we've just seen a lot of interest for women's football, and it's a sign of it growing. And here we already have nearly sold out for Arsenal game. So I think it's massive. It's a big game to start with. And it's you can see that if nearly sold out. So that's what happens when the English girls won a big tournament.
It's brilliant. And obviously, it's not just the English girls. You've got some new players coming in this season. And I know you've got players from Spanish clubs coming as well. I mean, you've got Leila Ouabi, your old Barcelona teammate, Laia Alexandre, both of which you played with Spain. And then obviously Dana Castellanos coming from Real Madrid. What part did you have in them coming here? Did you ring them up? Like, what kind of
thing? No, I didn't do anything. I mean, you know, sometimes you check Twitter and I was like, I think people was calling me Agent Lozada, but I promise I didn't know anything. Actually, Leila is one of my best friends. And when she told me she was coming here, and already had the deal done. And I was like, really? So now, so happy, because, I mean, I think there's Spanish football, the Spanish players are growing, we're growing so much. I think we can bring something different. And I also think they can find their best level here in England, because I think it's the best league in the world. And I think we still need time to know each other. There's been a few new players signings, and we're getting there. We're working hard to get there.
It must be amazing having your best friend there as well, like you said, kind of playing in the team together and back together after Barcelona. That must be nice for you.
I mean, yeah, we've never imagined that before. We were laughing when we were sitting in the coach in Madrid. We were wearing Manti kit and we were like, what are we doing here? Because it was a bit weird at some stage. But I'm so happy for her, because I think also it's not just about football, it's about life. I think she's going to be able to meet another culture, another girls, something different countries. Also, she's working on her English. I'm helping her. We're all helping her. So I think it's a big opportunity for her to grow as a person also.
You said they offer something different, and I wanted to ask you about that, because who better to ask than you? I know that Laia has been kind of playing a maybe potentially similar role to Steph Horton, and Leila to Demi Stokes as well at left back. Do they offer something different there? Is it like for like? What kind of thing can we expect?
I mean, the way that Spain plays, in the end, you can speak about tactics, systems, but in the end, the basics, the details are the same that we work in the Spanish national team for Manchester City. Gareth likes that kind of possession football and intelligent players. The Spanish are definitely going to bring that, because they've been working on it for years and years and years. And also Laia and Leila have grown in Barça Academy. So that's what they do there, as I was. And I think they just need to get used to this league. It's quicker, is more aggressive. And I told them, and they're actually so excited to start the new season.
Looking to the season ahead, I wonder if there's anything on the pitch that you want to focus on specifically in terms of your role in the team, or is there anything that you're looking at going forward this season?
I mean, I think we realize we're a younger team than last year. Maybe some players don't have as much experience as some of the players that we've lost. But I think is the first thing is about sticking together. That's a must, especially after being out of Champions League. When things are not good is when you have to be together. And I think players like Leila, me, Steph, I don't know, Alex, that have got more experience, bring that mentality. And hopefully the new girls can join. I think it's about time also. It's about working every day hard and bringing that mentality, especially to the WSL, because I think the games are on for more than 90 minutes. And I told Leila, this is quicker. You have to be focused all the time, and you might be winning 2-0, and in the last 10 minutes you lose the game. So it's about bringing the mentality. We've got a lot of talent, but we have to work on other parts of the game.
Definitely. And you mentioned the Champions League loss there. It almost seems bizarre that that's happened already before the start of the season. That must have been a tough one to take, especially with Caroline Weir scoring the goal. I'm just wondering kind of what, first of all, your reaction to that, but then also how does it change your focus for this season?
I mean, I think we didn't play our best football. So that's one thing that kind of in one way makes you happy, because you know you can be better than that we were. And Caroline scoring, well, we know her talent. I don't think she was involved in much in that game, but she touched one ball and she just put it in the net. We know that she's so talented. But it's more about us. It's not about the opponent. I think we can play so much better. And I think we have to take that game as a motivation to keep working hard. And now it's about going for the league. If we can finish better than last year, we don't have to play them first games that sometimes come very early.
I just wanted a quick word from you on Ellen White and Jill Scott, because obviously they've retired now and they were, you know, big names in the Manchester City team. I wonder if there's anything that you want to say about them or any specific memories of what they brought to the team.
I mean, the first thing I want to see in my personal side is that I was so lucky to have the opportunity to share with them the dressing room, the team, because they're players that I've been looking at since I was young, and I've been growing up in Barca, but I was here in 2015, and I remember Jill Scott, and I remember Ellen White, and so they were a motivation for us. So they are so inspirational. And I think some of the players that are now, for example, I'm going to say the Lionesses, they're becoming them, and all my respect. I'm so happy to have had the opportunity to share with them some moments in football. And I wish them both the best in the future, because I'm sure they're going to keep bringing great things for women's football.
For sure. And first up, it's Arsenal. Obviously a big, big game to start off with. What are your thoughts heading into that match?
I think it's a big game, especially last year we lost 4-0 at home. I think it's a big one. And as I said, it's going to be pretty much sold out. So I think the atmosphere is going to be amazing. But for us, we're going to do everything that's in our hands to get them 3 points. I think it's important, especially after the first games we've had, not winning. But I think the team is growing. We're working hard, and the atmosphere is really good in the team. The girls like good people, which also helps a lot. And I think we're going to improve, and we want to go for ready. We're ready for the game, and we're going to go to win the 3 points.
Well, best of luck for that one. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you so much. Thank you. My pleasure.
That was producer Sophie speaking to Manchester City's Vicky Lasada. Next, we move on then to the Chasers, which were grouping together Man United, Spurs, West Ham, Brighton and Reading. I think the credentials for these are the staying power in WSL, having shown progress before. So we'll start where we did with the contenders. I think we'll start with the transfer market, Rich. Have Man United done enough, do you think, to bridge that gap to the top three?
It's a really tough question because I had this conversation on a Man United podcast a few weeks ago, and I really like what United have done with what they have. You know, they don't have as big a budget as the top three, but I think they've recruited really well. They've bought two of the brightest young English players in Maya Letizia and Grace Clinton. They've signed players that were starting internationally for their countries, you know, in the summer in Tunkara from France, Lucia Garcia, who's a really exciting player. They've added some experience as well, obviously, with Keats and with Rachel Williams. So I think they've done well. It's just that problem of, again, the three above them are coming from a higher starting point, and they've all recruited well as well. So you kind of almost get that impression of they'll probably be close again, but maybe they're relying on, like you said, you know, maybe Man City having a slow start or just taking a little bit of time to gel together. But, you know, City have shown 2 years in a row, even when they have a slow start, they can really fight back. So I think United will be there and they will be the favourites to push one of them out. It's just, it's hard because whatever you do, the teams above you are doing either the same or more. So I think for United, it's really going to come down to they have to take every opportunity they get. They have to be so good, so tight at the back and pick up results if they can, because what's cost them is they're not picking up the results in the big, big games.
Yeah, I agree with Rich. They've signed really well. They've got some depth now, really good spine, and you've got Mary Earps in goal, you know, Ella Toon, Alessia Russo, absolutely flying high on confidence. So if they're ever going to do it, they've got to do it now. And also, I would say for those three in particular, they've got to get Champions League football for them because they will feel like we need it now.
In this group of chasers, the next two that I've chosen to focus on are the two that I think have got the best facilities to offer players below that top bunch. And that's got to be Spurs and Brighton. Only last week, Brighton revealed this extra wing that they've got now in their facility. I went and I saw some of it in person. Spurs, and ever since Alex Morgan was there, Rich, you know, the level has gone up a notch because she moaned and she complained about not having equal standing. And she might not have been in the WSL all that long, but boy, did she leave her print on it, because it has changed beyond recognition at Spurs now. So do you see these two with those facilities being the next two in the rankings, fighting with Man United? Because as much as Man United are trying to catch the ones above them, there's also teams below them trying to catch Man United.
Yeah, I think, again, it's that question of everyone's doing really good business, but again, so are the teams above them. And with Tottenham, it's a difficult one because I feel like they've added good quality, but I think more so at the back and in the midfield. But that's kind of where they were strong anyway. They had an incredible defensive record last year, and obviously they've added Amy Turner, they've added Angra James, and it was up front, you know, where they just struggled for goals. They didn't score enough. And, you know, they've added Ramona Petzelberger, you know, obviously as an attacking midfielder. They've added the young Norwegian striker Bize from PSG. She might be the one, you know, we'll see how she adapts. She's a very talented young player.
But they lost Williams.
They've lost Rachel. You know, it's real experience. They've added Drew Spence, though, you know, which brings experience in. And I think it's, with Brighton, I think they'll be okay, but I'm a little bit concerned with Brighton because they don't tend to add a lot. You know, Hope Pal tends to go with quality over quantity, but they've lost a lot of players. You know, they've lost their two. Anessa Kagman was huge for them. Danique Kirkdyke, Emma Koivisto's gone to Liverpool. They've lost, obviously, Maya Letizia to Man United. So there's a lot of good players gone out of Brighton. And I think if anyone's going to challenge the top four, you know, you've got to look at Tottenham. You've also obviously got to look at Everton. You know, they need to have a much better season than they had last year. But again, I think everyone's recruiting well, but it's just that case again of the teams above are recruiting so well as well.
Yeah, I think Rich makes a lot of really good points there. I mean, Brighton, they've got that continuity with Hope Powell being there. And yeah, I just think basically from Man United downwards, it seems very hard for those teams below them to recruit a kind of consistent striker. I don't really feel like any of them have one. It just shows how rare they are.
Yeah, how much they cost as well, probably, as well, Robin, when you look at it, budgets in this league. I'm going to run through Reading and West Ham now. I'm going to shoot one at each of you. I think Reading, maybe the point about them is that they're the only side not to be backed by a Premier League club now. And I wonder what that gives in terms of an edge to everyone else. I come back to the facilities that we were mentioning about Brighton and Spurs. does that mean that they don't have as good facilities? Does it mean that that has an impact on the team? Paul Konchesky is the new West Ham manager, certainly will be relatable to players because he's played. He'll probably have a good rapport in that sense. But has he got enough in terms of coaching credentials? I think those are the questions that we want answering. I'm going to give Rich Reading, and Robin, you can have West Ham. So we'll go with you first, Rich.
I think Reading always do so well. You know, like you say, they're the only non-Premier League backside now, with Birmingham having been relegated. But they've never really been under threat of relegation. You know, they've always done so well. And if anything, pushing the top six more than they have the bottom six. And, you know, I think Kelly Chambers has done a great job. But, you know, you do have that question of how long is it going to last with all these Premier League backed clubs. I think with Reading, though, there is a consistency. They haven't really lost anybody significant, and they do have a striker, you know, in Tash Dowie, and Tash had such a good year last year, and as Robin said, I think that's vital, because there is many teams in that mid-table fight that don't have that out-and-out number nine that might get you double figures for a season, and they've added modestly, but, you know, they've added quite well. You know, they've brought in some experience, and they've added different little things up front as well, which I like. They've brought Charlie Wellings in, who always did quite well in the WSL, to be fair. And she went up to Celtic, had a fantastic year. They brought Lauren Wade in, who probably looked like Northern Ireland's most dangerous attacking player during the Euros. They brought in experience at the back, Brooke Hendricks, Diane Caldwell, who was at Man United last year. So I think Reading are in an okay position. I don't think they're going to pull up any trees, but I don't think they'll be down there. I think Kelly is very, very smart in what she does, and I think Reading will be okay.
Over to you, Robin, to take on West Ham then.
The only thing I would say is Reading having Kelly Chambers is vital. I just think without her, the whole thing it doesn't really exist, does it? As for West Ham, I agree with you, Lindsay. I think Paul Konchesky is an interesting one. It seems like, I think it's the good thing for them, it's not out of the blue. He's been there a while, isn't he? Kind of in the background, assistant manager to Ollie Harder. So he'll kind of know the setup and what's going on there. It's something that he's clearly committed to. I don't think he's one of those male coaches you see that are kind of see it as a sort of stepping stone. It looks like he's all in. Again, they've lost a bit of experience. Flatty, Smitkova, who was real quality, they've lost, you know, to Chelsea. She was a great player. And Leon, obviously, to Manchester United. But no, they've recruited quite well. I know you, Lindsay, you were raving about Hala Hussein, weren't you?
Yeah.
She was the one to watch. So it'll be really interesting to see how she does. Risa Shimizu, who I really like. Japanese international, Vivian Asei from Bayern Munich, who's got Champions League experience. West Ham are always really difficult to read, though. They always seem to have a really high turnover every single season, and they really, historically anyway, I feel like they've really been on the end of some hidings by the top teams, and they struggle to, they kind of do enough against the teams around them to kind of stay away from danger. But they're an interesting one, and I think they're a difficult one to predict as well. Again, good defensively, not absolutely sure where the goals are coming from.
As you mentioned that Gilly Flaherty departed to go to Liverpool, worth mentioning who their new captain is. It's Brynjars de Tir. Let's get the players' take on that decision as well. Brynjars de Tir being captain, that was asked amongst other questions from producer Sophie about the season to come. She spoke to West Ham's Kirsty Smith and Lucy Parker.
So Kirsty Smith and Lucy Parker, thank you so much for coming on the Athletic Women's Football Podcast. Start of a whole new season off the back of a very exciting summer. I want to start with you, Lucy, on the impact of that Euros. I mean, it must have been inspiring. Have you noticed any change around the buzz around you guys as a team at West Ham?
I mean, everyone obviously was massively inspired by it and sort of pushes you on that little bit, I suppose. But the biggest stuff's probably behind the scenes that we don't really see, like the ticket sales and things like that. But there's definitely a buzz around the season starting and everyone being really excited to sort of see the impact that that's had on the season this year.
Kirsty, you're joining from Manchester United. Obviously, you must be excited to be at a new club. I wondered if you've noticed any differences already between West Ham and Man United, and if there's anything from Man United that you want to bring to West Ham.
Yeah, I think obviously being at United for 4 years, it was like progressively getting even better there. And just coming in here and seeing like it's pretty similar, to be honest. And it's good to see that the teams are obviously invested in it. And yeah, we're like, it's been a really good team to be a part of. Obviously, leaving a team that had been at for 4 years was going to be a difficult decision. But being here around the girls here, like, it's quite similar. Like, everyone's made me feel so welcome and everyone's lovely. It's just a nice team and we all get on so well.
That's really good to hear. And Lucy, obviously, changes this year. Paul Konchesky, now in charge, was assistant last year. I'm just wondering if he's already put in any changes or how it's been going under him. Has the style changed at all? And also, how are you enjoying it under him?
I think it's been almost like a breath of fresh air. I think because he comes from, obviously, a football background, he's played in the Premier League, like, he gets that side of the game. And like, he just sort of understands as a player how you feel and how you think in certain situations, which I think you don't sort of get that with somebody who's not been through that like experience.
That's brilliant. And obviously a new captain, Daniel Brynjarsdóttir, and also a lot of new signings. Obviously France's Vivian Asai from Bayern Munich and Lisa Evans, who you'll know very well, Kirsty, is coming permanently to West Ham now. How has that been, having a new captain? How's Danny been as captain, and how's it been playing with Lisa, Kirsty?
Yeah, obviously coming in, I didn't really know many players, but having Lisa here was brilliant. That's one of the only players I knew, but even coming in quite later, like having Dagny as captain, like even having 4 weeks here, I've noticed the qualities in her. And yeah, she's a really good person to have in the team, and you can go to her for anything. So I think as a captain, she does lead by example. So, and yeah, obviously Viv joining as well is a good sign in, and hopefully she can bring more experience and give us something going forward.
Bags, Dagny, she's like the ultimate professional. So she like epitomises everything that the club is about. She's been good for us.
We spoke to her on the podcast last season and I was so impressed with her attitude towards everything, you know, saying that being a mother has just made her think, I have to make the most of every single second on the pitch. And I'm guessing you guys kind of feel that from her as well a bit.
Yeah. She works hard. She's very positive.
I can imagine. Looking at the pre-season results, obviously a tough 5-0 loss to Liverpool and to Lewis and hashtag United. Kirsty, I know you've been involved in those. What's the kind of feeling around that? Maybe an explanation? Are those kind of just considered pre-season games and they don't matter, or are there kind of concerns around those results?
No, I think for us, obviously, pre-season's a time to learn. Pre-season's a time to experience different formations, different people playing together. And I guess the results maybe aren't how we wanted, but I think this is the best time to have it. Like, it doesn't make us change anything, or it doesn't make it hard for us. I think pre-season's for learning, and if we didn't have them results, if you win every game, like, you can't really learn from that. So I think in that sense it's been a good thing, because now that we've learned from it, we can put that into practice when the season comes, and when it gets hard, like, we can stick together and go again. Like, we know what it feels like and we don't want to let it happen again.
Obviously a good learning coming into a big match for the opening season, Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. I mean, first of all, how excited are you guys to play at Stamford Bridge against the champions? And is there a kind of extra fire that you think, we've got the defending champions in our first game, right, let's put on a show?
I think the biggest thing for us going into the game that we've been focusing on is just being hard to beat, like making it as hard as possible for them to obviously get the ball in the back of the net and keep the game as close as we can for as long as we can and see what we can get out of it. But individual personnel, I mean, Chelsea obviously, they have an incredible squad, incredible depth, but as long as we do our jobs, we know we'll be all right and we can get something out of the game. You want to be pushed to the limits, and every single time you play Chelsea, that's exactly what you'll get. And that's the fun, like, that's the enjoyment of the game. So you want to be tested, and to get to play against the world's best players is in the first game of the season at Stamford Bridge is so exciting.
Brilliant. Kirsty Smith, Lucy Parker, thank you for coming on the Athletic Women's Football Podcast.
That was West Ham's Kirsty Smith and Lucy Parker. The new team in the league this season is Liverpool. Yeah, the former WSL champions are back in the top league after two seasons in the Championship. Joining us for this section is The Athletic's Liverpool writer, Kiva O'Neill. Kiva, great to have you on. First of all, what have your impressions been about how equipped this Liverpool women's team are to stay in the league?
Well, the girls are back in town and I'm so excited about this because it's been a long 2 years waiting for WSL football to return for Liverpool. And yeah, do you know what? I feel positive having, you know, watched the games in pre-season. They got a couple of results, beat West Ham quite convincingly, you know, had a draw with Man City. Natalie got beat by Man United. So I think there's positive signs. They haven't made a whole batch of signings. They've brought in, obviously, Shanice van den Sanden, who's, you know, I've played for Liverpool before. It's going to be so exciting to watch, you know, just a player who's at Liverpool almost needed, you know, to definitely, you know, bring a little bit more to the goals and assists, I think, going back to the WSL. And then obviously you've mentioned before Gilly Flaherty, who will bring, you know, experience and that's important. Aoife Cummings, young goalkeeper, that was important, I think, for Liverpool to get another goalkeeper in. Obviously Riley Foster still undergoing rehab, and Rach Laws has just signed a new deal as well. There have been plenty of new contracts as well. Obviously, Leanne Kiernan, who scored 13 goals in the Championship last season, has just signed a new two-year deal. So that's really positive, as well as adding some new players as well. Emma Koivisto, obviously Finland international. So they brought in quality players, and I don't think there's any worry about like relegation or anything like that. It's about, I think, consolidating their place in the WSL. And it feels like all the noise and haven't watched them in pre-season that they're going to be able to do that with this team. It is going to be tricky. I'm just looking at the fixture list now. And you know that Reading game is, Liverpool need to get points on the board there, because then they play Chelsea. That's on Sky Sports. The Everton game at Anfield is also on Sky Sports. A lot of pressure for those games. Then it's Spurs, Arsenal, Man City. You know, the games are going to come thick and fast, and Liverpool need to get as many points as possible. But there is a real feeling that they're going to be able to do that and maybe shock, surprise teams this season. That'll be the hope, if Liverpool can be the surprise bag, because obviously last time they were in the WSL, the last season there was just, you know, they were the team everyone was winning against, and I think they want to make that not the case this time around.
Kiva, what we really want to know is the setup at Liverpool. I was there for the broadcast day. It was held at Anfield. It felt grand. It felt like there was all this backing behind it. Is that the reality? Because that's the criticism that's been levelled at the club in the past, is that the women's team got forgotten somewhat. Do you feel like it's been reinvested in?
I definitely think there's been a rebuild at the club, even just, you know, the past 2 years, getting back to the Championship and sort of watching that progress, the staff that they've added, and obviously the players as well. And, you know, I think it kind of is a telling sign that these players are, you know, committing the futures to the club and want to be here playing for Liverpool. I think that's, you know, that sort of speaks of what kind of, what Matt Beard's built at Liverpool now since coming back to the club. I think Russ Fraser, coming from Leicester, was a key appointment, managing director. Liverpool women had never had one of them before, and I think, you know, he's been doing a lot of work specifically to, you know, get Liverpool women a purpose sort of build training ground for themselves to have. And, you know, obviously playing at Anfield, that's great, but, you know, you want to see them getting invested into and getting that support. And, you know, I think there'll be probably another Anfield game to come later in the season. That is brilliant. You know, that's what we want, isn't it? Liverpool women playing at Anfield, certainly. And they are very happy at Prenton Park as well when they play there. But yeah, I think there have been massive sort of strides and improvement. There's definitely well more they can be doing, you know, especially considering they've won two WSL titles and got them, you know, in a cabinet somewhere. So that's, you know, what they need to work towards now. And we know what it'll take to get there. That's plenty more investment in this squad. And you know, I think we will see that. That's the hope among supporters anyway. But they're definitely in a better place than they ever have been.
Any articles for you to flag up, Kiva, if people want to find out more about Liverpool?
Yeah, there'll be a piece, I think, on Friday from me, just on, you know, the rebuild and I guess where they're at heading into the season. So yeah, that'll be one to keep an eye out for.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
This is the Athletic Women's Football Podcast, part of the Athletic Podcast Network.
Finally, we move on to relegation worries. A few things that I'm holding on to here that I've wanted to mention for a long time since we started recording. Number one, we put this list together. I'm sure there are going to be Everton fans when I read out their name in this that are going to say, no way are we in that group. But I feel like they're in between, actually, the chasers and the relegation worries. So you did give them a verbal mention earlier, Rich, when we were talking about chasers. We'll go in depth on them here in the relegation part, but you might disagree with that. Also, when you were talking about strikers, because we're going to talk about Leicester City here and Aston Villa, and the lack of strikers, the out-and-out strikers that we've got in the league, that being a rich commodity. Well, Robin, we've got Rachel Daly, who's been signed by Aston Villa. Now, everyone's going to say, what? All of the Lionesses fans from the summer? She wasn't playing as a striker. But of course, out in the US for Houston Dash, she's played and got great figures as a striker for many years. It's just within the England setup that she hasn't been used in that capacity. So do we have the new dazzling signing up front for Aston Villa?
I think we might do. I had a look on the website and she is listed as a forward, so clearly
she is. Oh, Carla Ward was very keen to tell us all that she's a forward. Yeah,
she won't be playing at left back. although, you know, didn't work out too badly for England. It's a really big signing. I didn't expect that. It seemed like she was quite settled over in the US. So it's fantastic she's back. She had a great tournament. And yeah, I think out of all the sort of, apart from the top four, I think she's possibly going to be the most potent striker out of the rest if they can feed her, if they can find her and create chances for her. I like the other business they've done. Obviously, Simone Magill is such a devastating, because that was such a good signing. And then obviously ACL during the Euros for Northern Ireland. Kenza Dali, though, Natasha Harding, you know, all very experienced WSL players. Dan Turner from Everton and Anna Patton back on loan from Arsenal. So, you know, Carla Ward has, you know, she's been busy. And she always seems like a really, I don't know, she comes across really well as a coach, and also just in the media. She seems like she's got a lot of clarity and players want to play for her. So I kind of really hope as a neutral totally that she does well in particular.
Villa are the only club outside the top four to have two Lionesses in the team, Hannah Hampton, goalkeeper, being another one. Moving on to Everton, who have a new manager, Brian Sorensen. They've lost a lot of goal threat, though. And when you talk about trying to have someone to put the chances away, Rich, you do wonder where they're going to find them now, because Govan's gone, Magill, Santi McIver as well has gone, hasn't she, goalkeeper, Anvergaard, Dali. So how do you assess where they are right now? Would you have put them in the chasing pack?
I would put them in the mid-table pack. I think Everton just dearly need a consistent, sort of solid, quiet season. I think last year they got a lot wrong. I think the recruitment was good on paper. I think they made some rushed decisions. I think they had a really tough start to the season as well. They played Man City very early, Chelsea very early, Arsenal very early. And I personally felt they were a little bit quick to get rid of Willie Kirk, but the concerning thing for me was, where was the sort of plan? You know, they brought in Vasseur, but you know, he did well at Lyon obviously, but you know, it's Lyon, and there were question marks. I think if they'd spoke to any players, you know, that worked, there were question marks about his coaching credentials, and then they went from that to just having an interim for the rest of the season, and I just thought, where's the plan? You know, what are you working towards? And I think now with Brian, you know, he's a good coach. I think they just need to just let him do his thing. I think he's recruited really well, actually. I think it's important. He's brought in players he knows, he trusts, players like Karen Homgard, Claire Wheeler, the Australian. But I like what they've done, actually. They've brought in some really exciting young players. The Dutch striker, whose name has just absolutely escaped me, from Bordeaux. They've brought in Aggie Beaver-Jones, who had a really good year in the Championship. They've brought in Jess Park, who I'm a massive fan of. Emily Ramsey has come in, another young player. And people forget, you know, they've got Hannah Bennison, they've got Leonie Meyer, Aurora Garley, you know, Nicolina Sorensen, Tony Duggan, Izzy Christensen, Natalie Bjorn. You know, that they've got a who's who of internationals and really good quality players. I think they just need to let Brian do his thing, have a consistent season, and then just build from there, because quite honestly, last year was just a disaster.
Mm. The Dutch striker that you were trying to scramble around for, it's not the easiest of names, Rich. It's Katja, are we saying Snoys? I'm going to go to the commentator.
She's the one.
I haven't received the pronunciation yet, so I'm keeping quiet on that one.
The email is doing the rounds today, Robin.
Excellent.
I shall let you know, but I think Excellent. It's Snoys. But anyway, yes, that's probably why it evaded you for a moment. In terms of facilities, Leicester are right up there as well, contending on that front. But is the problem for them, Robin, that they lack a bit of star quality?
I think that's a really good way to put it, because they've got a very solid team and they are extremely hardworking. I remember watching them a lot. They were really fighting for each other. It was great to see. Decent defence. You know, Ashley Plumtree is now a full international, Nigeria. Abby McManus, you know, a lot of experience. Really liked the look of Shannon O'Brien. She's got a little bit of stardust, actually, a little bit of technical ability. But we keep repeating ourselves, don't we? Goals. You know, you've got Flint, Sigsworth, Kane, actually all players that Rich has kind of been close to, worked with, banging them in the championship, just can't quite do it in the WSL. Disclaimer there, I think they've all had pretty serious injuries. So to be fair to them, you haven't had the chance. But they've recruited, you know, quite well in terms of experience. Like Aileen Whelan, Josie Green, you know, two players who've had a lot of WSL experience. And also, I guess the player that you shouldn't have to rely on her, but Carrie Jones, the Welsh international from Manchester United, she's still really young, but it'll be great to see her get a few more minutes. She barely played for Manchester United, so I think Mark Skinner brought her off the bench a few times. I think she scored her first international goal the other day, didn't she, to kind of almost confirm their place in the playoffs. So clearly someone they think a lot of, because I think she signed a new long-term deal before last season.
It's not something we're used to, is it? Long-term deals.
No, exactly.
They're starting to come.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, because they're definitely going to be in the mix for relegation. I'm not saying they will be, but the fact they've really backed the team and, they, as you say, they've got really good facilities, it would be a real shame if that stalled a little bit.
Okay, we have got predictions next. Right, it is time for them. I'm going to be jotting them down, putting pen to paper, ink them in to just bring them back up later in the year. That's why Robin is actually wincing right now. She knows what happens when we do predictions for a season. We're going to make them quick fire. So we'll start with champions. Robin, who are you putting down?
Chelsea.
Rich.
Yeah, I'm going to have to be boring and say Chelsea, I'm afraid.
You're probably both right. But you know what? I'm going to say Arsenal this season. I think Jonas Eidevall got so close, and knowing what he now knows a year in, can he just get that extra 3 points? Golden boot. I'll kick us off with this one, because I do agree with you on something Chelsea related. I'm going to say Sam Kerr.
I was going to be boring and say that as well, but I'm going to go bolder on this one. I'm going to say Black Stinius.
Ooh.
I've just got a little feeling for Bunny Shaw at Man City. I think she will play every week this season now with Ellen White gone, and the service out wide from Hemp and Kelly and Castellanos and Mary Fowler behind. She's one of the best. She didn't get the opportunity to show it last season, but she's one of the best in the world. And I think the amount of chance, I don't think City will win the league, but I think Bunny will score a lot of goals. But as a disclaimer, if it's Sam Kerr, I will not be shocked in the slightest.
That's a good shout, I think, Bunny Shaw. It's a good shout.
Yeah, not a bad shout at all. This next bit of audio will be played in a dressing room. Which one, we don't know yet. Depends on who comes out on top. But in terms of relegated, just as a motivator, you know, those people wanting to prove us who know nothing wrong. Rich needs to start one off. Relegated.
I don't think I'll be massively popular for this, because I know quite a few players there. But I think you said it about Leicester. I just don't think they have the star quality. And you know, you never want to see anyone get relegated, but right now, maybe in 48 hours, it will be different, because I think they're still active in the market. But right now, if you ask me, I'd just about say Leicester.
I think reluctantly, I agree. I really don't want them to, because I love the fact that the club have backed them and they have great facilities. I think it would be a real shame, as I said before, but just at the moment, I think that they'll struggle.
Yeah, we do all like you, Leicester. That means nothing right now, because we've all said that we think that you might be relegated. Surprise package. Robin.
I'm not sure if this counts, but I'm going to go for Everton just because they finished, I think they finished 10th out of 12 last season. I think they're going to do a lot better.
Oh, how much are we talking? A lot.
Oh, I'm thinking pushing the top four.
I'm going to nip in and say Liverpool, because I don't think that they're just there to survive. I think they're going to be mid-table. I think with Matt Beard, who's been in WSL, won it with Liverpool twice before. I'm going to say Liverpool in my surprise package. Rich, to round it off.
I'm probably going to say Villa. I don't think it would be a surprise because they've added that striker, but I just think the fact that they have added Rachel Daly, I can see Villa climbing a few places. I do agree with Robin on Everton, but I think they should be up there. Mm. So I'll go different and I'll say Villa because it'll get me back in Wardy's good books as well.
Okay. Well, they've gone in the vortex for now, but they'll be coming back out later in the season. In the first fixtures, let's remind you who's playing who. Spurs play Man United at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Saturday. That is live on Sky Sports. Then on Sunday, holders Chelsea play West Ham at Stamford Bridge on the BBC. There's a huge tie as well in Manchester as Man City host Arsenal, also live on Sky Sports. Liverpool make their WSL return at Reading. Everton take on Leicester City and Brighton host Aston Villa. Before we go as well, we want to talk about the Championship already being underway. A mention for Crystal Palace, who are top of the table after two games. Bristol City, where Anita Asante is now a first team coach. They're just behind Palace on goal difference. And Coventry United are bottom after two defeats. In other news, Karen Carney is going to be chairing a major review into the future of women's football in England. That was announced in the last few days, the results of which will be coming out early next year. I'm sure we'll be dissecting those amongst us. And that is all that we've got time for on this week's Athletic Women's Football Podcast. My thanks to Robin and Rich. And also, I'm just feeling the love for Kate right now as well. But thank you very much for filling in the void.
Oh, we hope we filled that very large Kate-shaped hole in your heart, Lindsay.
Oh, you just about did. You just about did. Thank you very much. And thank you as well at home for listening to this first episode of the new season. We always want to hear your thoughts. We're at The Athletic UK and at Offside Rule Pod on Twitter, so get in touch. Plus, if your friends and family are getting excited for the new season, maybe they got caught up in Lionesses fever, then make sure you tell them all about us as well to follow and subscribe. The more the merrier. You're all welcome. And we'll be back next week.
The Athletic.